Great to be with you. If you would turn with me to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 24. And I'd like to begin reading just a couple of verses, beginning with verse 13. Luke 24 and verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And I'm sure the Lord is going to bless his word as we look at different verses. Let's just look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I'm so glad to have this opportunity, Lord, to look into your word with all of the dear brothers and sisters here. And Father, we pray that you will work among us, that the Lord Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And we would desire to see real blessing here in the assembly at the chapel. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm fresh off of a conference down in Southern Hospitality Region, Greensboro, North Carolina. And the folks really outdid themselves. We felt so welcome. The family that we were staying with had never met Erna before, although from my ravings about her last time, they were all excited to meet her. And we just had such a good time together. And then there was a dear brother. I think he's the president of Everyday Publications. He was there with us. And so it was my first time really to get to know him. And we just, you know, there's sometimes when you meet people and you just kind of gel together. That was what it was like. It was really great. And we needed to have a boost spiritually. So the conference theme was following the Lord Jesus who is building, right? And that really spoke to our hearts. In particular, we've been building here at the assembly for years, but just in the last year or so, we've been thinking about, well, you know, how are we going to rebuild? You know, first of all, it was after COVID, but you know, COVID was here and it's gone, right? We have to move on. You know, I like the sailing on song, John. That kind of expresses where I am today. We're moving on, and that's what we're looking forward to. I just made a note as I was thinking about the passage and thinking about the Lord and thinking about us. And it's just this, take it for what it's worth, but the thought came to mind. This is Doug Tremper original, okay? Failure is not the size of the assembly. Failure is not discipling. Just having more people is not the solution. We must be following Christ who is building. That just really, if I could just shut up right now and have you think of something, that's what I'd want you to go away from the message with this. If we look around and there's 17 people or 24 people or whatever it is breaking a bread, you know, and you feel a little down, you really, be honest, you know, you're like, you walk in the door and say, where is everybody, you know? If that's what we think of failure, that's not it. You know, where two or three are gathered in his name, there am I in the midst. I realize that was given in the context of discipline, but that's true for the church. That's true. That's true for all of us. And it's not the size. It's how are we progressing in our faith with the Lord Jesus. So there was a couple of times during the conference, you're going to hear different things from the conference, I guarantee it. The Lord just keeps bringing these to mind. And in the evenings, they would take some younger men, you know, maybe in their 30s, and maybe even their 20s. And they would have like a little bit of a time at the platform. And it was very encouraging. And there was one brother, and I hope I have this right. He's from Canada, that's definite. I'm pretty sure he's with Freedom Teams. I believe the city is Winnipeg, but it's working with indigenous people groups, all right? People in Canada who were there before we came, or before they came. And this area that they were dealing in, outside of Winnipeg, in the wilderness, this area that they were dealing in had no believers in that area, none. So they began praying together, a small group, and they mapped out an area. And they focused on that area, on, first of all, meeting people, greeting people, trying to show love to people. And the Lord blessed. There were a couple that got saved. So they started talking with them about reproducing with another area next to them. Now this is just going to blow your mind. But that group went to the next area, and the Lord blessed, and some people got saved. And they mapped it. They did this 5 times in a big circle. And in a year, they had 50 people breaking bread in an area that had no testimony. And he was so excited as he's explaining this. This big dude, you know, he's got a beard, like 30-year-old up there with a big beard. And he was so excited, the enthusiasm was catching. It's like, boy, wouldn't we like to? The Lord will bless when he'll bless, okay? They had no way of knowing that that was going to happen that fast. But it's just an encouragement to our hearts. Can you imagine if 5 people this year came into Mountain Ridge and they trusted the Lord, right? Or if in our discipling others, if 5 different times someone trusted the Lord and they all entered into fellowship, do you know how pumped we would be? I would be pumped. You know, I'd be ecstatic. And God has an even bigger vision than that. So that's an illustration of making disciples. And one of the things that, as I was praying over this, this is kind of an aside, our dogs have decided that it's good at 2 o'clock in the morning to start barking. And they won't stop until I come downstairs. And then they stop. I mean, they're just laying there looking at me, you know? So I'm like, okay, if we're going to do this, I'm going to pray. pray for a couple hours. Well, this week that happened again. Get home from the conference and think, well, maybe it's all over. Maybe it won't. No, start right up again. And as I was praying, this thought kept coming through my mind is, how do I approach this business of meeting people, of leading people to the Lord, and of seeing the Lord use me in discipling? Does the Lord use us in discipling? You know, think about who, one of the speakers said, get 5 people this year and, you know, disciple them. I'm like, man, that's a big vision. You know, if all of us got 5 people, what do we got, about 25 people in the room? That's like 125 people. That's a lot of discipling. It's not out of the question. Yeah, good question to ask. How about us discipling? And then there's the whole question of, well, what is it and what does it look like and how do I go about this? And I'd just like to bring out a couple of things from this passage in Luke. We're not going to stay here. We're going to be moving through some different passages. But it says about the Lord, there are these two, and there are two that the Lord knows about. And he goes to them. And the first thing is Jesus himself, right? Jesus himself. Am I myself with people that I meet? Can I be as transparent or as open to whatever the possibilities are with people that I meet? And the Lord actually always had a connection with the people he was ministering to. He always had a personal touch. You could think about the woman at the well. He immediately gets into her love life, right? I mean, how many would be bold enough to say, the man that you're living with is not your husband, right? There's that lack of fear and trepidation about being real. Or to Nicodemus, to say to someone who's a rabbi's been to training, he's been mentored his whole life in the Old Testament, and he's steeped in verses and how to live and all the elders of the traditions, and to say to him, what, you're the teacher of Israel and you don't know this? I mean, talk about in your face, right? The Lord was very, but he didn't do it with a mean attitude. He was real. He was sincere. He could get across. So the Lord himself came to these two. I mean, just think about them for a second. They were hoping that the Roman occupation was going to be over. They were hoping that Israel was going to be out from under the hand of another nation. And they were hoping that the one who was going about doing all these miracles, that this was the prophet that Moses said would come, that he was the one who would deliver us, and that he would come as the king. You know, they were looking for a king. When the Lord Jesus did that miracle of feeding the 5,000, what were the people going to do after that? They were going to take him by force and make him king. This is the guy we want to be our king. He makes bread out of nothing. You know, they were looking for that. And all the disappointment. I happen to think that it was probably Clopas was the husband. I think the other was his wife. All right, I could be wrong on that. But either way, the two of them were just down in the dumps. It was over. They were looking at, how was life going to go on from here now? What is going to happen now? You know, what happened to all of his followers? What happened to all of his disciples? And here we are, and they're like trudging along. They're trudging along so deep in the dumps that they don't even recognize Jesus when he comes. They don't even know him when he comes. And he comes into this. He comes personally, and he comes intentionally. It says Jesus drew near. He drew near. That was planned. It's like when he said, I have to go through Samaria. I must needs go through Samaria because there's a woman and she's going to be at the well at 12 o'clock and I'm going to be there. All right? The Lord knew what he was going to do and he was intentional about it. How much of my life has been sent like a tumbleweed when it comes to discipling? Like, oh, maybe I'll meet somebody here, or maybe I'll, you know, maybe this will happen. In sort of a response to what's happening, as opposed to being obedient and intentionally going out. I think of that group there in the Winnipeg area, mapping out an area. You know, of all the years I've been thinking about helping out in town here, trying to reach people, I never once mapped out Berkeley Heights. Our brother that comes, Wade LeBlanc, talks about the people in his city, how many thousands there are, and he systematically goes about knocking on doors, and he meets people, you know, and the Lord uses him in his gift to be able to lead people to Christ. So there's that thought of being intentional. Jesus himself drew near. He was personal. He was intentional. And he went with them. He went with them. He continued on with them. So I'm in a hurry, and we're all in a hurry. you know, we like microwaves. The microwave's not working. That's a problem. You know, or, you know, you have a gas fireplace. Too hard to chop the wood. Just turn the switch on and it's there immediately. Not looking at anybody, John. Enjoy the conveniences of life immediately, right? With helping people come to know who Jesus is and letting him see who he is in my life, it means I have to spend time. I got to go along with them. Some of the places that Jesus went, like I was wondering about this, you know, he went to the house of Simon the leper, or Simon the Pharisee, and there's a big feast going on. Well, I don't know about your family feast, but our family feast can get a little wild, right? And Jesus goes and inserts himself right into that. He goes along with them. He's part of their life. You know, who have I become part of their life? Sometimes you would say, oh, you know, as a Christian, I need to be separated, so I'm just not going to do that. And you can be with people and not participating in the sin. You can be participating with the people. And it's a fine line, I'll grant you. But the Lord Jesus did that. And he wants us to be like him. If you just flip over, well, maybe before I do that, let me just ask this question. Question number one, who did I lead to Jesus? In other words, the Lord saves people, but who did I give the gospel to? Who did I preach the gospel to? And they trusted the Lord. And just flip over to John 1, just a page over. And I'm going to begin reading about Jesus' first disciples in verse 35. The next day, again, John the Baptist was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and he said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come, and you'll see." So they came and saw where he was, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon, and he said, "We have found the Messiah." He brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. But there is, you know, Andrew sees the Lord, and he comes to wherever Jesus was staying. And there's something about spending an afternoon with Jesus that has totally changed Andrew's mind. He's like saying, "This is it. This is it. This is the one that we're expecting. This is the Messiah." Right? He's all excited. He wants to tell Peter. So he finds his brother and he tells him. A couple of things about this. You know, who did I lead to Jesus? Who did I preach the gospel to? People see what's real. People look at your life and they see what's real. And if you're really excited about the Lord Jesus Christ, they can tell. If you're just kind of ho-hum, here, take this tract, you know. So on the way home from the conference, we stopped at this country inn. And in the morning, they have the breakfast where you can get your free breakfast. And there's a lady going around there. And I noticed she's cleaning up after everybody, but nobody's paying any attention to this lady. And so after the breakfast, I went over to her, and I said to Erna, I'm going to give her a tract. And she says, "Make sure you give her a good tip." So we took the tip and the tract, and she saw the money right away. But then I said, this is good news. Now, I knew when she spoke that she was Latina, right? But she spoke English. I said, this is good news. This is something for you today, you know? And we want to say thank you. We really appreciate that you're going around cleaning up after us, right? And she, her jaw was like, ah. She didn't know what to make of that. But she immediately started reading the tract right there while I was there, right? And I said, I just want you to know that's for you, right? Jesus is for you. Now, you know, why did she do that? Because there was some real appreciation, or really appreciated what she was doing. And she saw that and she wanted to take it. A total stranger, right? That's one case. But people will, if you're intentional and if you really are personal and if you come alongside them, that speaks something to them. I don't think we see that a lot. I don't see, you know, maybe. We did notice a lot of people holding doors for us from like 12 feet away. So things are a little different in North Carolina. But, you know, this intentional and this kindness, like showing basic kindness to people, that speaks to a heart, right? So that's like 101, you know, that's like beginning, getting the door open. But then, you know, it goes on from there. They find Philip, and the Lord wins Philip, and they go on from there, and they spend their entire lives for the next 3 years with Jesus, and they have seen him in a variety of situations. They have seen him calm a storm when they thought they were going to die. They have seen him, we mentioned, making bread out of nothing. They've seen him face-to-face with the religious elites, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, all of them. They've seen all that. And they've even seen him die on a cross, and they've seen him be resurrected from the dead. All of this, and in Luke 24, the Lord comes alongside again. I'm going to go back to the page there in Luke 24, verse 36. Right, so these two that were on the road to Emmaus, they had contact with the Lord. They come running back. First of all, it was late in the day, and they were going to invite Jesus in for dinner, right? Because it's late in the day, so you're not going to go any further today. But as soon as they realize, you know, that he's known to them in breaking bread, now they don't care that it's dark. It's 7 miles back to Jerusalem, right? I like walking with my friend Rob. He likes to walk 4 miles. I am whooped by the time I finish 4 miles. And these guys going back to Jerusalem are in a hurry. And they get there in time to tell them, yeah, he opened to us the scriptures. And they found the 11 and they're together. And they're all saying, hey, the Lord appeared to Simon. The Lord is getting around pretty quickly. And then as they're talking about this, in verse 36, Jesus himself, there he is himself, that personal touch again, stood among them, right? He's intentional. He's coming back to them, and he's alongside them, and he's saying to them, peace to you. And they were startled and frightened. They thought they saw a spirit. He said, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Here's my hands and my feet, see? It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see I have. And he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of fish, a broiled fish. So the Lord appeared to them, and they've seen all these things. And now I'm going to flip you to Matthew chapter 28. The Lord tells them to go ahead to Galilee, and there they'll see him again. And verse 16, now the 11 disciples, so that's minus Judas, went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Make disciples. So here they are at the end. They've had the Lord with them. They've had this experience, right? Can you imagine having a new friend that you tell about the Lord Jesus? They don't believe right away. They're still your friend and they come along. And you spend 3 years with them. And over time, they come and trust in the Lord, and they see how you're living, and they begin in their own hearts to want to love the Lord the way you love the Lord. All right, so who did I come alongside? Who did I love and show what I was doing? Who did I become a friend to? Who did I spend time with and really get to know? Who did I guide to reach out to others? This is where we are now. So I'm thinking about my own life and confession here to make. I'm looking back, and there have been a few over the years that trusted the Lord, but you really lost touch with them. There have been some that you shared the gospel with, and you spent a lot of time on, and for whatever reason, they've gone away. You know, there's been just the attraction of the world. There's been sin. There's been failure. All these things. And looking back, and I say, well, who had the fruit to actually go on and reproduce the life of Christ in someone else? And I got to tell you, I'm looking at this, and I can't find anybody. I'm feeling like Peter. You know, I was praying this morning, Lord, depart from me. I must be a sinful man. We don't save people. The Lord saves people. And thank the Lord that he does give us people that we know, that we pray for, and they come to know the Lord. But where do we go from there? And to transfer that to a local assembly, who is there that we've witnessed to that's come to know the Lord, and they've come to the point of reproducing fruit? When they get to that point, then the work grows. Christ is building his church. We're following him. We're doing what he's doing. If we're doing what he's doing, there's going to be people that have new life. There's going to be people that trust the Lord and disciple others. So I look back and I say, well, who discipled me? And it's interesting. I can't find someone that sat down with me and did a Bible study and said, this is discipling you, which is what I've tried to do, right? I don't think that's discipling. That's teaching, but discipling is your whole life. It's imparting the faith that Christ has given to you to someone else, and the Lord taking that and producing fruit in their lives. So, but I did think about some whose lives made a difference for me, and I think of a brother, he's with the Lord, Bill. Bill played softball with us, and Bill was not a platform speaker, but his life spoke volumes. He was an older guy who loved younger guys. He bridged the generation gap, a very gentle soul. Had you over to dinner, you know, just was there always, like for years. I remember Bill and Carolyn, and then there's Bob, who actually financially invested in us. You know, they helped support us and continue to help support us. And they have prayed with us, mentored us, you know, given advice. There was Alec, who would tell me, brother, you were conspicuous by your absence. And a rolling stone doesn't gather any moss. And so many other little Alecisms. But I remember being together at Exxon and having a Bible study together and having lunch together. And he'd be on the phone with Ted every day, the two of them. Every time I walked in there at lunchtime, he's on the phone with Ted. And take us to the Water Street Macaulay Mission. Take us to Bonnie Byrne to sing. There was always an involvement in my life. So actually, these were men that were in the assembly, and they all worked together. And their combined testimony really brought me along. There were lots of women, too. I used to call them Mama and last name, you know. And Mama was Monday, and Mama was Tuesday. And Mama, you just were helped by these dear sisters who fed us, fed me. So I wanted to produce life in someone else because of the investment that they made. I wanted to be like them, and as they were like Jesus. Paul says that. He says, be followers of me as I am of Christ. Bottom line, how do we get to the point of seeing the Lord's work grow? But there was a brother at the conference who spoke about work in Florida. And for about 10 years, they faithfully met in a town, and there were just a few, maybe 20, and they faithfully met. And then they did reach out. They did try to share Christ in a lot of different ways. They had an auto show. They had a fall festival for kids. They did a lot of the normal meetings that, like we have. And then they had a big burst, like we've just had in the junior high. They had a big burst on Friday night. He didn't think it was going to work on Friday night. The first time someone said to him, we ought to have a youth work on Friday night, he said, are you kidding me? That is never going to work. But then they had it, and a big bunch of kids came, and he said, you know what? I was wrong. Good thing when a leader can say I was wrong. But then, through their prayers, all of a sudden, the whole place grew. I mean, a lot. And now there are 150 meeting there. And lots of baptisms. You know, they have like 10 or 12 people a year trust the Lord that they're seeing, you know, and then they baptize them and others go out. He said that when a work hits 40, it kind of takes on a life of its own. I don't know if that's true or not, but maybe by observation. So the Lord will bless when he'll bless, but I got a feeling it has more to do with our obedience to the Lord personally. Like looking at the situation saying, I don't know how this little thing that I do is going to increase work, but God sees it. The little thing that I can do, and he'll bless it. And, you know, we want to see the seats filled again. There was a time when they put in these extra seats because there were more people. They moved the platform back a ways. And, you know, they did that because there was real growth. And we want to see those days again. Now, I got to tell you, I'm reading books that people are giving me. One's called The De-Churching of America, right? And what it is as you go through the generations, this was mentioned at the conference too, that if your age, like if you were born between 1950 and 1960, you're 50% likely to continue going to church once a week. If you're between, you know, 1960 and 1970, now you're down to 40%. And it gets down by 1990, it gets down to 10%, you know, that attend church. They're all flocking away from church. But there are pockets, as you go around the country, we're hearing about different assemblies where they're booming. What's the difference? What's the reason? And I think it's obedience. I think it's prayer, obedience to the word, hearing what the Lord is saying and actually doing it. And I think that there's some separation from things that might not necessarily be sin, but they're not necessarily building me up either. They're kind of dragging me down. Things that, 1,000 years from now, what difference is it going to make? So focusing on making disciples, I think that's where it's at. That's where the Lord is speaking to me in my ministry of continuing on, trying to ask the Lord. I mean, it'd be great if I had five this year, you know, that I could disciple. But you can pray for me for that. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, I know I have not expressed this very clearly. We do see your word saying, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. Lord Jesus, we do see the excitement of Andrew finding Peter and then Philip coming, and the excitement of the early disciples in being drawn together. And we do see that it takes a real intentional pouring our lives into people rather than being a shotgun, Lord, approach. Just seeking from you, what will you have me to do? And then doing that with a view to making disciples, Lord. So just as this speaks to our hearts, help us to read your word, Lord, and continue on doing that. Help us to be real people, not just religious people, not just happy people, Lord, but to be real, transparent, godly people, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.